And we want to talk to you about transition today. Moving ahead in life. And we are going to get to a couple of scriptures. We're going to read Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read that in the King James Version. And also I'm going to read that same two verses in the New Living Translation. Then we're going to go over there back to Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 in the King James. And so let's go ahead and read our text this morning, dealing with transition. I know everybody is going through different changes. We're going through a different change right now. We're in the fall season. And you know what's coming next?
Spring.
Yes, spring is coming sometime. We can't miss one. The Bible says snow and heat and rain, it never ceases. So thank God, you know, you might try to get away from it for a little while. I know some of you are going to get away with it for a little while. You're going to go to the south, but when you come home, it'll still be waiting for you. And thank God for that. Amen? We love the snow. I'm saying it by faith. Hallelujah. Did you find Philippians chapter 3? All right, verse 13. Brethren, or sister, I caught not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You better pay attention to that. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward for those things which are before. There's a whole lot of information contained in that one verse. But then in verse 14, or verse, 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Paul here is talking about, of course, himself and his ministry and the high things and the calling of God that he's involved with. Each one of us is called to do the will of God. Then in the Philippians chapter 13 and 14, reading the New Living Translation, says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet, or not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And let's go ahead and read the prophet Isaiah. You know, Bible says that we're taught by the prophets and the apostles. And Isaiah 43 and 18 and 19, the King James says, remember ye not the former things, neither the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, he's talking about a supernatural intervention. And in our transitions, we need God to move in our lives and change things for us that we can't change ourselves. So we're heavily, you know, emphasized looking to God for what's happening ahead of us. And I want to just give you this idea to think about this morning for our teaching, and that you can't move successfully ahead in life if you keep looking back at the past. If you keep mourning about your failures, mourning about the losses, mourning about the hurt, bringing up the past, and I was putting that, you might be moving some, but to be successfully, you got to cut that off.
Amen.
At some point and look forward to what God has planned for us.
Amen.
There's better things for us. And moving ahead in life, we must learn, we talked about this before in the past, three things. Number one, you're going to have to learn to forgive. A lot of people are walking around with hurts. pain in their heart. You know, people hurt them somehow. People, government decisions that affected them. Their parents' decisions. Relationship issues of the past. Maybe you've had an unfortunate situation where you've been, you know, hurt by someone, maybe in a very private area, private matter. And it's hurting you still today because you can't seem to let go of that. There's healing for that. You know, in my case, I had to forgive those that abused me, those that have hurt me, that hurt my family. And I had to let go of it. And I was mad at my parents. Anybody ever were mad at their parents? Amen? And we had to let go of it before we can move ahead successfully. And we learn to forgive, and that's walking in love. The second thing we needed to do was to forget the past. Leave it there. Don't bring it back up. Quit bringing it back up every time you meet somebody. Every time you post a new thing on Facebook, you're telling everybody about what happened to you. And leave it behind. Leave it where it's supposed to be. Now, you might bring it up in case of sharing something to help somebody or teaching somebody. And another, the third thing we need to do, besides forgiving the past, forgiving people, forgiving, giving, offer forgiveness and forgetting the past, leaving it there, the next thing we need to do is learn to live daily by faith. And we need to do that. We need a good picture of our future. We need to have a picture of what God has for us. And he has something good for us, all of us. Amen. And you know, Jeremiah 29 says, you know, I know the things I have for you, says the Lord. I know what I got for you in the future. Things that are good. You know, things that are, there's no destruction in there. There's no hurt in there, but a really good past, future. And nothing destructive. And over in the New Testament, you know, Paul tells those people there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, you know, God has planned a good life for you. He's already arranged. He's already arranged in your life. Maybe you struggle, but there's been an arrangement that God has planned for you to escape whatever it is that's plaguing you. I was thinking about this morning. I woke up early this morning. I think I've done more funerals than marriages. I've done a lot of funerals. And if you want to pre-book your thing, you let me know what you want me to say. It's going to cost you extra more money. No. You know what? We all have to think about that. And we have to get ready. We're not going to be here forever. And so I was thinking about that this morning. You know, I've done baby baptism, or now we call them dedications. And, you know, there's changes in people's lives. And that's one of the biggest changes in lives when somebody leaves us. So we need a good picture, not the death picture, but the life picture. Amen. And so we need to look at our future with confidence in the Word of God. Amen. Because without God, you know, the future doesn't look very good. So I want to talk to you about transitions. And there's some things that you need to be reminded of. If you're thinking about this right now, what is your next phase you're going into? What is the next venture? What's in store for you for the next level that you will achieve? How are you going to move ahead? You know, We can't always expect everything to be the same. First of all, we just read two scriptures. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. That you need to forget the past. If you're going to forget the past, there's got to be something new. And some people have a very hard time moving ahead. Even into better things. Even if it's a better plan, people seem to have a hard time, you know, getting themselves comfortable with change. So you'll never succeed in life if you want everything to remain the same. So you can't move ahead successfully if you keep looking back. And having everything familiar, you know, we like familiarity. We like to go back to the nice couch at the end of the day, find your favorite mug, watch the reruns of Toronto Maple Leafs, of last night's game or yesterday, or 1972 Canada-Russia, or something, or Gunsmoke, whatever you watch. Remember, how many of you remember Gunsmoke? Some of you, there's a few of you old folks around, still around. Eh? I bet you still have reruns or somewhere. Eh? So, you know, we can't always, everything can't be familiar. You know, we change churches or something like that, and we want everybody to be the same. We want to change the church we go to be like the one you just left. Why did you leave there in the first place? Go back. Amen. So here, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, let's see here. It says that God told Abraham something that we could actually learn from. By faith, the Bible says that Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should have received as an inheritance, obeyed. And he went not knowing whether he was where he was going, where he went. You know, we might not know everything. We might not know all the things that's going to happen. God might give you a little vision of something, but we don't know every detail. And sometimes going there, you're going to find some challenges along the way. Maybe you might have to deal with some sickness and believe God to overcome to get there. Maybe you might run into some challenges with finances. Or you might want some just to stay afloat. You might have relationship issues. I know I'm getting ahead of my message, but you know, just think about it. You might have that. So you don't know what's going to happen, and God has something in store for you. But then again, there's some things you might have to jump over. So it's difficult to move ahead to the next phase or next level successfully, unless you know that God has something good for you. He has everything in store for you. You know what the Bible says? Let's put it up there, Jeremiah 29, and let's read, let's look at that, and Philippians chapter 2, and verse 10, or excuse me, Philippians 2, 10, I believe, or it's Ephesians, I can't remember which one it is, but there's two scriptures that I usually use. But if we want to look at Jeremiah 29, 11, it says here, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. I put it in the New Living, it'll give us a little bit more related language over today. He said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they're plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Now, let me just say and put this in context for a second. These people here that God's talking to were in a foreign land. They were captured by the enemy because God had to allow the enemy to take these people away to another place. But even though they were in a place where they were being held captive, God told them to pray for that land that they were in so that they would have prosperity there. And maybe you're in a situation right now that you don't like the land that you're living in or the kind of situation you're in. We still have to believe God to have, all our needs met. Amen. And enjoy something. And it's not always pleasant when there's changes happening. He says, not for disaster. There's not one thing that God has planned for you that's going to be bad. Amen. There's not one thing in your life ahead that's going to be bad. You say, oh, what if something... You know, the Bible says that if we trust God, that we will always have confidence. And he's always going to do something good for us. Now, the enemy is going to do his best to disturb you. And he says to give you a future and a hope. So if we're going to move confidently in life, and no matter what you're having going through right now, always there is a good future. There's a hope for you. There's something good coming.
Amen.
If you go to, I believe it's Ephesians 2:10, the Amplified Version. Let's go ahead and read this and take it over to the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. Jeremiah talking to the captives. They were taken away because they were out of God's will. And most of the time, people have a hard time because they strayed away from the perfect will of God. And no matter how you think you're in the things of God, you know, you have to be careful and make sure that is that what God wants you to do, what you're doing right now? We don't want to be in a place where the enemy has access to us. Ephesians 2:10, Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ. You know, we're born again. That means we're born again in Christ. We are born again. You have a new life. It's not the old thing again. So, born anew that we may do those good works with God predestined, planned ahead. You know, God already planned this. He says, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prepared, prearranged, made ready for us to live. God has a great life for us.
Amen.
And, if you go back to 2, I think it's going to be Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to go to the verse 13 there. And, you know, God has something good in store for you. I know you're going through a transition. It might not look good. But you wait ahead and trust God. Did we get that scripture? He says, it's not your own strength, it is God who is all the while at work, effectively working you, energizing and creating you the power and desire to both to will and do, to work his good pleasure, satisfying his delight. You know, God is working in us. Even when it seemed like nothing's happening, God is working in you. Sometimes you'll have to like what's happening because God wants you to do certain things. Amen? Like coming to church Sunday morning. You might not like coming to church. I don't always like coming to church, but I love coming to church. But my body doesn't always want to do it. I blame my body. And I blame my mind because... You know, I think, oh man, I could be doing this. I could be chopping wood or something. Well, I don't chop wood, but it might be you. Praise God, amen. So God won't always give you detail, but you know it's going to be good. You know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will always show you, tell you about the future. So. The Bible, we just read here, Jeremiah 29 and Ephesians 2, 10, that we have a good future. We just read it. So you have to be willing to leave everything in your life that represents the past, you know, to leave it, let go of it in order for you to be successful in your next venture. You know, you think about it for a second. You know, a person, you know, if you took someone... And you have a pack sack on his back, and you kept putting junk in there. After a while, it's going to be hard to walk around. So spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. You keep that junk walking from one phase to another. You bring your junk into the next relationship. You bring your junk into the next workplace, the next marriage, or the next church. And you try to live out things But you haven't really let go of the past. So, you know, I remember when I was treatment. They call it treatment, and I went to a treatment center a couple of times. I wanted to go again, but my sponsor says, "You don't need any more treatment. You need to start following the rules. Get with the program." And so I went to the program instead of going back to the treatment. I started going to the meetings and being part of it and helping out and volunteering my time. I volunteered my time. Even they said, "You need to come, Roma, the most of the time you need to come when you don't want to go." Yeah. That's the time you need to go the most. And Friday night was the hardest time because I'd drive through downtown and see all the people sitting in the bars, my old buddies in there, and they look like they're having a great time. And I wanted to just drive in there just to have a Coke and maybe play some shuffleboard or pool or something and just listen to the music, right? And just say hi. But, you know, you have to make the changes. And so every Friday night I would have this aching that I'm missing out in life and everybody else is having fun except me. You know, I had to stop that. I had to see. I couldn't vision that there is actually a life without using. But there is a great life. I was blinded by my past. And so there is a good life for us. And I it's almost 50 years. I might not look like, you know, I'm very old, but I'm up there. You know, thank God that we survived it. And one thing I had to do was release the government that I thought injured my whole nation. I was mad at the Indian affairs. I was mad at the government because of what happened to me. And it's been years later. Now everybody's, you know, still working at it. I've let it go. Amen. And everybody has to let go. Yeah. I remember my sponsor said, "Roma, you got to forgive your parents." And some of you here, you haven't forgiven your parents. Oh, it's getting personal there. Erase that. So we need to take a step of faith that God has something good. Everybody say, "God has something good for me." So that requires trust in God. It requires us to rely on Him to make the changes. Sometimes we want to help God out, you know. In the Bible says that, you know, Abraham tried to help God out. His wife even encouraged him, "Go and sleep with my maid and you'll have a baby with him." He said, "Okay." He obeyed right away. And they had a baby, and it went bad. Israel wanted they wanted the king like every other nation. God says, "I don't want that for you." So sometimes we want to be like everybody else, and we want what they have, and so on. But God has His plan specifically for you. Are you still here? Yeah. Okay. So He simply wants us to obey. In Hebrews chapter 8, it says that by faith Abraham obeyed. So if Abraham had to obey, we need to obey. He said, "I'm going to do this. Even if I don't like it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the change. I'm going to make sure things are going to go my way." So Abraham obeyed, and God called him to leave his homeland where it was familiar. You know, I remember joining a church. I attended one church all my life, and I went to this one church. And when I went to that one church, it wasn't very much of a good-looking building, and the people there were like, you know, Motley Crue. But I went to that church, and I heard things my church never talked about. And it set me free, and I knew I was supposed to be in that church. And it wasn't because of the music team. wasn't because of the, you know, decor. It was the message that touched me. It was the Word of God that changed my life. I knew this was the place for me. And when I went to that church, there was no native people there. And a lot of times people, they want to go where their culture is. And if you're going to be led around with culture and race and everything, you're going to lose the will of God for your life. We want familiarity, and so we don't want to change because we want everything to be the same. The people be the same, and everybody should change with us. But not everybody's going to change with you. In fact, if you come and get born again, your family is going to talk against you to try to change your mind. When I became a born-again Christian in our, what we call our religion, they told us, Roma, you're changing your religion. You can't change your religion. And so they tried to change my mind about it. But so there's, you know, when you make changes, there's a whole lot of things going to get affected in your life. Family is going to be saying things. Your belief system, your cultural background is going to affect certain things about you. Your social norms are going to change. And so there's a new thing coming for you. Hebrews 11:8 says, the New Living says, he went about knowing, not without knowing where he was going. Sometimes, you know, we don't always know everything. Where you're going next. So you might not know everything, but it's going to be good. Amen? Say, it's going to be good. Psalm 104 says in verse 19, you know, it says here, you made the moon. Who's he talking to? God? You made the moon to mark the seasons. And the sun knows when to set. God has made seasons in nature. And he has a new season for you. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. And in the book of Proverbs, it says in Ecclesiastes, the writer there in Ecclesiastes, it says here in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. You know, I don't know what you're going through. And I don't have to. God knows what you're going through. And I wake up sometimes 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I look out my window, and I know no one's coming to rescue me. I tell my wife, you know what? No one's coming to rescue us. And we got to trust God. Yeah. Amen? I remember Keith Moore always tells his wife, what are we excited about, honey? And she tells him what we're excited about. Sometimes you need to ask somebody, what am I excited about? So what does transition mean? Well, you know, of course it means seasons. It means movement. It means a passage. You're going through that passage. You're going through that change from one position or one state to another stage in life. And, you know, you might change the way you think, and concepts might change, the way you look at things. It means change, basically. Say, for instance, when you're one of the hardest changes, they say, is from adolescence. You're changing. I remember that when I started changing, my sisters would tell me, your voice is changing. And I remember when my sisters became women, and when my girls became women, I started to cry. I want them to be the same. I don't want them to, we go through those things, right? The dads. How many dads we have here that, you know, your girls, all of a sudden, you get a call from the school, you come pick up your daughter. Well, I didn't. My mom did. My wife did. But, you know, changes in life. And when kids go through adolescence, and I remember going through my change as a young man, I think, as a young adult, was probably one of the hardest years of my life. When I was 17 years old, it's like my whole world was going crazy. And there's so much expectation, and I was expecting great things, but not a whole lot of good things were happening. But it was a hard thing to change and to become a man. I don't want to be a man. I want to live with mommy forever. And how many of you are still with mommy? So some people really have the struggle, transition. And so they want a full picture. They want to be familiar. They hate to deal with the unknowns of the future. And they need to have confidence in their God. So if there are seasons of changes, then we need to get ready for the different things. And you need to tell yourself, so why am I having a hard time? And I know to myself, going through the changes, you know, lately we don't have our dogs anymore. But I'm looking for a new one at some time in my life. My wife says, don't you get a dog again. Not for a while. Unless you're staying at home 24 hours a day. And so, things change. Your house is empty. All of a sudden, you got an empty house. Yeah. Why are we living in here? Why are we staying in this one room when we got seven rooms in the house? You know, with three levels. Why don't we just stay in one room? What of all this stuff we got? You know, when you die, I don't want my kids going through all my stuff. You want that, Pastor Ken? What is this? All these pictures. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's we all go through different things like that. Even fear of the future. So everything, there's a season, so we must be prepared. And you know what? We must be committed to change. Be committed that this is going to happen, whether you like it or not. And so say, listen, let's do this. Let's do a good job with it. So there are seasons. There's a season for everything. It applies to all of us. It's not easy. We got to get used to the changes in lives. Everything is changing even right now. Even your body is changing right now. Somebody said, I went the other day, I it's like that dog. And when I saw on the internet there, a dog was walking and he saw himself and he jumps up. You might go do that one time. Say, who's that old man in this house? So anyway, families change. Empty nest syndrome. Some people have a hard time with their kids moving out. They can't be alone with their wives. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I better not say too much, but anyway. So we go through different things, right? And sometimes, you know, they say in different circles that when all the kids move out, I personally know people right now, their kids are all grown up and they broke up after like 45 years of marriage. Because they were together because of their kids. They didn't make the adaptions that their wives and their husbands needed to make the change. They weren't ready for it. Well, anyway, I know this happens. What about the change when you move from a Buick to a Honda? You know, other people's changes affects our changes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Everybody is changing. You know, yesterday, and this is a very private matter, I was called to go to the hospital in Geraldton. I had to go there. And my brother fell over. He's in the 70, he's 74, 75. And he had an accident where he had a small stroke. And he'd been hospitalized over a year now. And they called me, and he fell on his, he gashed himself a couple of times. I went there. I said, well, he's happy. He's like, wow, he looks good. And so I had to take him out I said, you know, he's sitting there like 24 hours a day. And that's a change for me. His change made my change. So I have to take care of him. He's in a different town, and I have to drive over to see him. And I have to change him like a little boy, like a baby boy. Changes all his clothes and put him into his chair and put him, carrying him into my car, take him to the bank and do his business with him and do all that and change him back in there again. That's a change. His change was my change. It disturbed me. Nothing's the same, people. So we have to learn to adapt. And it's not going to always be the same. I won't always be here. He might be used to me. He might be happy. Oh, he was. You get through a party after he leaves. But you know, things are in a flux. There's always change. And we don't always see it right away until we open up our eyes and we see that there's changes. So I had to. His change made a definite change in my life, because I have to drive there all the time and go see him. There's nobody but him. But he has no children anymore. His wife is almost incapacitated herself, and I'm taking care of full time. I'm a full time brother. You know. And so I have to do is whatever banking and everything else like that. So I was listening to the other day, Denise Hagen. She says in her life as a kid, you know, she grew up in a minister's home, and there was always constant change. He said when my mother started traveling for the ministry as a traveling minister, she said it affected me dearly. And I heard them speak together before. Miss Lynette says, I'm so thankful that Denise didn't hold anything hard against me because of my commitment to the ministry. And yes, you know, there are things that happen in people's lives as a minister. I know it affected our kids. Because there was such a demand on our lives to be up front and to do this and that and stay up late and, you know, you're on doing different things. Brother Hagin used to say, what a horrible future it is for those people who just put themselves into ministry. And God will have to deal with them. You know? So, when we don't like changes, what happens to us? We might complain. We might be miserable, let everybody know. And we won't be happy. We won't be happy with routines. When changes come, we lose a sense of purpose. And we kind of lose our assignments. Like when children leave the house, all of a sudden the mother loses the purpose. You're no longer a mother. You know what happens to parents? You know, you lose your role as a parent. You don't parent the same all your life. At a certain time, your children no longer want you to tell them what to do. They have a different role now, right? And so we have to adapt to that, to those things. And we want that. We want the sameness so that we can feel good. And sometimes we lose that purpose. And no, it's just a change. So, you know, winter's coming. We don't want winter. Guess what? It's coming. We don't want no snow, but it's going to be there. We put our snow blower at the getting it fixed up, getting ready. And the other day, I bought some extra warm socks. I'm getting ready. You know, having tough times in the changes that we go through. You know, it helps us to build endurance. Right. You know, when you go to the gym, you push hard and you train hard, but it makes you stronger. The more power you put out, the stronger you get. The longer you walk, the better, the longer you can do more next time. So endurance helps us. Hard times will come to all of us in our tough season, And we'll just have to make a commitment to that and to go forward. The enemy will attack you and attack your beliefs and your dreams and stop you from going on with the things of God. James gives us a good advice here in James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. How many people understand this? That joy is not a feeling. Happiness is a feeling. Happiness is you get happy when good times come. But joy is when you make yourself see that there's a good thing happening. And you count it all joy because you see the Bible tells you to do it. And no matter what you're going through, you count it as joy. Another situation here to bring God glory, and we're going to go forward with God no matter what we're facing. James says, count it all joy. Consider it joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, the word temptations means tests and trials and disappointments and hard times. Knowing this, now, if you didn't know this, you couldn't count it joy. That's why we have to have the word so that the joy can take us to the next phase. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that testing of your faith, worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Because there's going to be a time that you're not going to require what you're doing now. Because you got what God said you will have. So endurance is your ability to stand under a trial. You become stronger in hard times because you've committed to God. You know, you have to have a commitment to God no matter what happens. You have to believe that God has the best intentions for you, the best idea, no matter what happens to you. I remember standing at the bedside of my mother when she was taking her last breath. I told God, I believe you. I'm not quitting the ministry. I'm still going to go ahead. And I still believe in healing, although she's dying. I still believe in healing. I don't understand it all, but I'm trusting you have a better plan. And if you don't do this, you're going to struggle a long time, a lot harder. So transition, and when my mom passed away, Thunder Bay didn't mean the same to me anymore. It's like, you know, she's the last of the most significant persons in my life, and I can leave now. But the Lord says, you come back here. You need to be here. So your faith will be tested. So give yourself a chance to grow. God never changes his mind when he calls you to do things. So, you know, we need to be a person of commitment in those changes. We need to focus on what he wants for us, find out what he wants. You know, Paul said over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 46, he said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. So he knew that his last days were there. And some of us, you know, we need to understand this. We're not going to be here forever. Billy Graham said this, you know what? I'm looking forward. One day you'll hear that Billy Graham has died. He said, don't you believe it. Because I'll be very much alive. He said, I'm looking forward to dying. I mean, of course, he's 100 years old. You know, I'm looking forward to see Jesus. He said, I fought a good fight. So you have to fight to stay in the race. Fight to move ahead. You know, they say if you're not a fighter, you're not going to fight with your faith, then not much is going to happen in your life. You will, you know, even if you try to make it the same, it's going to change whether you like it or not. Right? So, here's what I learned about changes. I was talking to Pastor Ken. I went to pick up some coffee the other day, or tea. I said, you see that building right there? I said, me and George Bellows went over there. We laid hands on that building and claimed it. And we didn't get that building. He said, we cried. And you know what? I look at it today and I laugh about it. And Brother Hagin says something that I took away from Rhema. He says, you know, what you cry about today, you laugh about tomorrow. You know, the things you think that you need and you want, it might not be what it is. What you cry about today, you laugh about tomorrow. In 1 Samuel 16:1, we're coming here to a close. I have three of them. The Lord said to Samuel, "You mourn a long time for Saul. I rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with oil and go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse who lives there. For I have selected one of his sons to be my king." He didn't tell him who it was. He just said, "You just go. I got one of those kids there. And you go ahead." He didn't say, "Lord, please tell me who it is first." No, he said, "You go. One of his sons is." And he tried guessing. Remember that? He tried guessing. "Oh, it's got to be this guy. He's the tallest one. Oh, not the guy. That's not him. Oh, this guy. He's got a nice sharp nose. It's got to be him." No, not him either. "This guy looks good. He looks like a businessman. It's him." No, it's not him either. "What about this guy? He looks like a handsome guy. He's got muscles." No, it's not him either. "Is that all you have?" "No, we got one little boy, a little dirty-faced boy working out in the field. Let's bring him in here." And he brought him before. "Yeah, that's the guy, ruddy-faced kid." Who would have picked him? Well, God knows. God knows who your husband is. Could be a little, curly-head boy somewhere, curly-head girl somewhere. You wouldn't even think, you know, anything of him or her. So we're going to believe for your husband. God wanted Samuel to move on to the next phase of his assignment. Sometimes he wants you to stop crying about that thing. He told Samuel, "Listen, stop crying. Move on ahead. I got some other work for you to do. You can't work for me and cry, be a crybaby. Dry up your tears. I got somewhere for you to go. You can't drive your horse with tears in your eyes." Which mountain? Is this the same mountain that I went through before? Eh? You know, lucky the donkeys know what to do. "Donkey, didn't we go by here before?" Sometimes we can become over emotional about some things of our past or even our present that we can't make the change. We walk by faith, people. Don't be so wrapped up in your feelings. Tell me how you feel. Right? And I became a social worker and I became a clinical worker for a while. Well, I want to be a clinician. Tell me how you feel. Well, I mean, okay, that's good. So we can deal with our past failures and disappointments. You know, these things, you know, if we can't deal with them, then it'll hinder us from moving ahead. Saul, you know, he became a leader of Israel. It wasn't God's best for Israel to have a king in the first place. And God allowed it. He allowed them to have a king. But he said, "It's not my best for you to have this, but I'm going to allow you to have it." And some of us here keep asking God, "I want this. I want that." God says, "All right, you go ahead. You go ahead and become prime minister, whatever." And you became whatever. But he doesn't want you all the time to do everything you want. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience to the thing he suffered. Sometimes we suffer to follow God. There's times we say no to our bodies. We say no to our own mind, our own plan, to follow God's better plan. Like for me, I did not want to be a pastor. I didn't want to be a minister. Who wants to be a minister? Nobody in my family is a minister. Nobody in my culture wants to be a minister. And besides, those guys hurt our people. And sometimes people tell me, like, how could you be a minister? You're a native person. I mean, I have to, you know, I have an answer, you know, and people don't understand. How could you be a minister, a Christian church, and you're Indian? Well, they call us Indians. Now there's East Indians. They call them East Indians. When you call an East Indian, they don't say, I'm an Indian. But we're Northern Indians. And we're not Indian anyway. I mean, you know, please don't take offense to that because, you know, people label things, right? But that's what people tell us in my own culture. They call themselves that, and they tell me what, you know, what I'm telling you. I shouldn't be a minister because, you know, hey, the churches hurt our people. Like some new Canadians need to learn about our history. In fact, in universities now, they're teaching Native history. What's happened to people, right? So it's good. So God allowed them to have a king, and it didn't go right. Things didn't go right. So if you will continue to persist in doing what you want to do and cry a lot about things, well, God will just have to let you do it. Well, I want to marry him. God says, no, but I want him. I love her. And so, you know, it goes on and on and on. And I've done counseling. And after all the counseling, I said, listen, this is my observation. You should not get married. They said, well, we're going to get married anyway. I said, okay, but I'm not going to do it. You find somebody else. And within a few years, they weren't together. They weren't together. Why? Because there's certain things that you fit in, you know, a Christian marriage. You understand that, right? So that transition didn't go good. So anyway, so let's say this, and then summarizing everything, that some are still stuck living in the past. And they don't want to change. They don't want to make any changes. And they're not adjusting themselves for the next phase. So all you need to know right now, what phase are you in? What's going on in your life that you have to prepare for change so it's not going to be such a shock? You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day about changes that very drastically going to change their family. He said, yeah, we knew about this. We knew this was coming. And so it wasn't such a bad thing in that sense. You know, God has good things for us, ahead of us. And he's always got the best intention for us. So forget about the past. Embrace the future. He said, I press forward. Sometimes you're going to do a lot of pressing for a while to break through what you're going through right now on an emotional scale. Get all the help you can get. Praise God. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, I hope you're disturbing with some of the things I said, that I have to come down to another level because my head's in the clouds. I'm just kidding. But you know what? Listen, you know, I'm just a simple man. And then sometimes I say things that hurt people, and I don't know I'm hurting people. I'm just me. So if I offended you in any way, I'm sorry. Okay? Well, one person is okay, but there's more than you here. And there's people online, you know? So sometimes people leave here because the way I am, I mean, I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect. Who's perfect here? Ken? I always defer to Ken because he takes the brunt of my jokes. But what am I going to do if you leave? I'd have to adjust myself. Pick on him. Let's all stand. Stand in faith. Stand together. We're in this together, right? Transition. Thank you, Lord. Let's say this. Say, thank God.
Thank God.
I can forgive.
I can forgive.
Everybody. And everything.
Everything.
I'm letting it go. And I'm forgetting the past. I'm leaving it behind. I'm not driving my car, looking in the mirror at the past. I'm moving ahead. God has a great plan for me. And I'm moving ahead. And no matter what happens, I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by sight.